This is TurnbuckleTrash.net. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
I love video games and pro wrestling.
With three fans who know how to talk some trash.
None of these cross-eyed mouth breathers deserve to hear this voice.
I guess it's time to take out the trash.
Hi, everyone. This is Dave Denton of Turnbuckle Trash. We have a very special guest that's going to join us right now. Hopefully, Zane will be able to check in with us in just a few minutes. His name is Tim Young. He's a very complicated man. He's a comedian, an author of three different books. Two of those books went to number one on Amazon Political Humor. He's also a radio host, which I kind of like, on Sirius XM. He's done lots of TV appearances, and now it's got to be the highlight of his career, because he joins us right here on Turnbuckle Trash because he is also a professional wrestling fan. Tim, thank you very much for joining us today on Turnbuckle Trash. And I we got to talk a little bit about wrestling, okay?
Yeah, sure. Listen, it's tough to be a wrestling fan with everything that's been going on. I think there's been the worst writing I've ever seen in my life in wrestling lately. So,
True.
I mean, the best, I'll tell you right now, they have the best athletes and the most talented athletes they've ever had. They have the geeks that, like us, grew up watching it, right?
Okay.
So people who truly love this, dedicated their lives to it, and then they get up and the writing is just total trash.
What I'm looking at right now is this new storyline they started with Ezekiel, the new brother that is just coming into professional wrestling of Elias, the younger brother. It just, I just want to tear my hair out of that. They had such a good thing going with Elias, and I know exactly what you're talking about.
You get entire arenas to cheer along with this guy, right? And I think everybody, the best promo, at least the most reaction any promo got in any modern era wrestling was the Kevin Owens and Elias, where they slammed, I think they were in Seattle.
Yeah, they were in Seattle, Yeah.
And they were basically booed out of the arena.
We're both great guys. We're just a couple of great guys.
Yes. I'm glad you said it.
But you know what doesn't make sense? John Cena teaming with Bobby Lashley.
Kev, it doesn't make sense, you know? It's like having a basketball team in Seattle.
How do you watch that and go, let's get rid of that character?
Okay. And you know who just joined us on the phone right now is my co-host, the man with the plan, and he's the one that decided to get us on Turnbuckle Trash together, Tim. It's Zane Peterson. Zane, I'm back. How you doing, my friend?
Hey, I thought you were my co-host.
Well, yes. Yes, you are. You're the co-host with the least. we're talking about professional wrestling, and Tim and I have been discussing with Ezekiel and Elias and that wonderful storyline when, what was it, 2 years ago, Tim, we were discussing about how they had Kevin Owens and Elias, and Kevin, I was just telling my wife about this the other day, when Elias and them started talking about the move from Seattle to Oklahoma City for the Thunder, and they just got booed off the stage. It was fun.
It was great. It was probably like, that's probably the best cheap heat anybody's ever gotten for knocking a local sports team, like, ever. And I just don't understand how you watch that, and you watch how Elias had control of that crowd. Number one, they weren't using him to wrestle at all.
Right.
But, and the guy is like he seems like a mega athlete. Like, he's cut more than most of the wrestlers there. And they just let the character go. I don't understand. Even the walk with Elias where he's playing the guitar and mocking people. I mean, I know that's a total takeoff of what The Rock used to do. And I think that's exactly what they were doing with him. But it worked. And I don't know how you watch a gimmick like that works and then tank it. And then when I was there actually at the Raw where Ezekiel debuted, and there was literally crickets when he came out. Literally, you could hear crickets chirp. It was so bad. It just seems like such a waste of a quality. Again, they're wasting lots of their talent, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
but
they are.
This one in particular is just exclamation points on how much they're wasting them.
And Zane is such a big fan of Elias.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead, Zane, with any kind of question you have.
Well, I was just going to say, when we saw you gave us tickets to Raw and we were on the second row. It wasn't Raw, I'm sorry. It was a WWE live event in Salt Lake, and Elias was right there. And I was just like, man, that guy is huge in person. Yeah. And the crowd, I don't know. We've talked about that so much of the WWE and their waste of talent. And I don't understand why they do that. They could have the most successful wrestler on the planet who could be over more than anybody else, literally, in history of WWE. And they'd go like, hey, you know what we should do? We should change that.
Yeah.
Let's change also, their name. Thing,
there's a thing that WWE has done for a while, too, that, like, I don't know if it's the higher-ups or what, but I don't know if you've caught this or not, but, like, Asian characters are always bad guys. Have you ever noticed that?
Yeah.
Like, I know, like, they finally started to mix it up, but I don't know if somebody can't get over, like, World War II or something. and it's just, like, the Korean War. I don't know what it is, but I'm like, you had a guy, Shinsuke Nakamura, who came in, who was, like, when he came in, he was humongous, and everybody sang along with the song, and like, he was crushing it in NXT. And then they bring him up. Well, then again, everybody they bring up to the main roster from NXT, they just pull off immediately. But they turned him into like a bad guy. It's like people should be cheering this guy and singing along, and it's just I don't understand how you can watch what goes on in NXT and how they've built these people up, and then just kind of like. Let it tank. My favorite match, and by the way, sorry, I'm outside and there's a truck slowly going by right now.
No problem.
My favorite match probably in NXT ever, and I would have never imagined liking a women's match, was that, what was it, Bayley Sasha Banks, when Bayley won the championship at the NXT TakeOver. And actually their whole series of matches where there was an Iron Woman match and then that match. How you have that there, where, like, I was literally on my seat watching that at home. I don't get excited by wrestling that much anymore. And then you bring them up to the main roster, and it's like, I have not seen a women's match like that or in the ballpark of that since. Or actually many, many regular men's matches like that.
You want to know what my favorite NXT match was?
Yeah.
It was Becky Lynch and Sasha Banks in NXT. Those two, I think it was 2014 – or maybe it was 2017. I don't know, but they absolutely killed it and blew it out of the water. I remember picking that as our match of the year for that year, and the women have been what has carried the WWE for probably the last at least 4 years, in my opinion. I mean, at WrestleMania this last year, the women's match was all women's matches were incredible, and. I just don't understand what's going on, and I think it's fantastic. I think it's way cool to see the way the women's division has gone from just chicks in bra and panty matches to actual athletes. And
yeah.
I don't know.
And well, you know what the difference is between the women's division and the men's division is that the women's division have very, very clear characters.
Yeah.
And they're very unique. Each one of them is still very, very unique. The men kind of like are all the same non-playable character almost at this point.
Right.
Yeah. So I want to get something out of the way with Tim that's been on my mind a lot that I thought really – I've been thinking since I emailed you, Tim, about what I wanted to ask you. And I don't know how much you guys introduced Tim, but I've been following him on social media for a little while, and he fills in for David – Web on Sirius Satellite Radio, and oh my gosh, don't shoot us, everyone. Tim is a conservative, and
gasp.
So am I.
And so is
yeah,
Dave.
Yeah. So is Dave. Yes. And so one thing I was thinking of, and I'm sorry if I'm off the subject. I just want to hurry and get this out there because I know Tim's short on time. But I think back to – I'll set this question up for you, Tim. I think back to a long time ago, you know, when I was a kid in the nostalgia era and you know, especially in the attitude era, you know, the nostalgia era, we had clear bad guys. We had Hulk Hogan come out with the American flag. Everybody was happy. Everybody loved to see that. We had the Iron Sheik, you know, who was obviously a bad guy, you know, your stereotypical bad guy from the Middle East. And you know, throughout the Attitude Era, we had, you know, some of the most controversial things in history going on in professional wrestling. And that's what professional wrestling was a story that was controversial. And because of what's been happening in society today in the last little while, I feel like wrestling has lost a lot of its edge because everybody's so touchy and everybody's so offended by everything. And I don't know, do you think that the way society has gone and it is, I know it's affecting everybody in different ways, but tell me what you think about what the current state of professional wrestling is because of the woke culture and because of all the crap that's going on out there.
It's been totally ruined by it. Are you kidding me? I mean, like, I'll tell you this right now. Like, I watch AEW. I actually got free tickets to the very first AEW show. A friend of mine works for the TV station there, and it was really, really cool in DC. I lived down the street. They gave me a call that day, and I got a call in, and so the storyline I would have done, like, straight out the gate, if we're not playing, you know, by PC rules. You have Nyla Rose, who nobody knows, nobody cares is trans or not.
Yeah.
But I would have looped that into the storyline.
Right.
And had the girls upset that she was the champion. And it's like, I mean, I think that's an obvious storyline. I think that's an obvious divisive thing that would get eyes on the show. And like, if you're going to do that and, you know, you don't have to insult anybody with it, but like, you literally could steal that. It's almost like the Leah Thomas storyline, right? You have this dominant female who's a biological male that you could, like, literally build something around. I think that would be a brilliant storyline, you know, and you go back and forth. Like, all of this stuff, they're so afraid to touch things that everything has become more generic and general, and everything has to be positive. You know, back in the day, and I guess, I don't know if it happens in AEW or not, but, like, you know, men and women would hit each other in the ring, and they don't do that anymore. You know, it's like, I think there's an aspect of, and I know it's stupid, but like, there's an aspect of like a mixed tag match, right? Where like the women could get stuck in the ring with a guy, you know, and that's what better way to get heat on a bad guy if the guy's in the ring with the woman, you know, and he's chasing her around to try to like beat her up because he's physically more dominant. They don't do that anymore. You can't, you know, play that game. There's just little things, like little nuances that take away. You can't say certain things anymore. Everything is overly scripted to keep everything safe. And it's very obvious that everything is overly scripted to keep things safe. I just, you know, when people had free reign and could say things and do things and reacted the way the normal world did, that was great. I think it's great programming. But I think on the same hand too, like when you look at what happened with the NWO, right? So the NWO were clear bad guys, but then they got cheered. Then everybody wanted to have these ambiguous bad guys that kind of got cheered. And that kind of mellowed things down too, when you had these ambiguous, like, we're not sure if they're clear good guys or bad guys anymore. But I mean, there's just a lot of mess that went on there. But, you know, I almost feel like if you let the guys kind of go, because again, everybody who's in wrestling now, all of the pro wrestlers that are in wrestling now who worked their way up and went through the minor leagues to get there, you know, and went through like indies, not minor leagues, like same difference to me, to get to the show. They have these established characters and they're great. And if you just let them do their own thing and really work it out and have like a moderator at the end of the day, I really think that things could be awesome. Now, you have to have a moderator that knows what they're doing at the end of the day, or else you turn into AEW where you have these great characters and then all of a sudden you have too many people. And right now, AEW's shows seem like a cacophony of noise when it comes to, you know, we've got every good talent we could pick up off of every program and everybody good that Vince McMahon let go, and they've got nowhere to go, and we're throwing them into teams. And yeah. And there's like, no, so there's no longer like, there's a couple of storylines and there are a couple of guys who stand out because they were there early. God bless. I mean, if MJF wasn't there early on, would he be in the mix with everybody else? I mean, that's just one of those things. Like, but you know, when you have too much talent, then you kind of turn it into a mess too. Cause I thought their storylines were going somewhere and they had some cool stuff, but like, whoosh, they have so many people now and they're just all over each other and you can't really develop anything. And, you know, you get a character, then you get characters. Okay. So you get a character off of the internet, not to go on like a 20-minute rant here, but I can go like, I want to spend money on wrestling and they're not letting me spend money on wrestling. Like I watched like a character that I enjoyed on the internet. Like, okay, Danhausen, Everybody loves Danhausen. Mm-hmm. He's a goof. It's funny. Now imagine what would happen if they actually developed that character on television, as opposed to there he is, like his first appearance. I believe he cursed Adam Cole in his first appearance.
Right.
They pull him out. Number one, he shouldn't have been in any kind of main event level. But they pull him out. He curses him. And then he just kind of walks away. Like, what is that? Like, there's like, that's like the absolute epitome of having too much going on at once, not knowing how to develop characters, and just having noise happen. Here's somebody who could make a lot of money, and it was just noise, and then he walked away.
Yeah, they are getting ready to put Danhausen in the ring against Hook. But, yeah, at that time frame, he was actually coming back from a broken leg, so he might not have been cleared medically, but I agree with you. It just didn't work when they brought him in, and then he walked away, and the crowd was going crazy, and I understand what you mean. Too much talent is almost like having bad writers because you don't know what to do with them. And I love AEW myself, but they are getting way too many wrestlers in there.
Like, in what world? So, you know, you've got Swerve and, oh my God, I forget his name, Keith Lee.
Keith Lee, yeah.
And they both come in, and now they're just a team because they have to be on TV. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've got these two incredibly talented guys who just are there. Mm-hmm. You know, like, they don't, like, it's like, what are we going to do with them? Well, put them in a team together. Are they logical as a team together? No.
And Malakai Black. You know, a great character. I mean, one of my favorite characters. Matter of fact, the week he made his AEW debut, I went and bought myself a T-shirt, you know. So, but, you know, he's now in a team. He's in a trios match. Buddy Murphy is there. And then that big guy used to be on Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. There's a thing with both of the big promotions right now that there's too much talent, or they have a writing staff that doesn't know what they do. And then you got people like Impact, and you go, okay, well, we've got some talent there, but not enough. And the NWA, to me, has better talent than Impact, but Impact's a better promotion right now, a bigger promotion.
Okay, but what's the deal with the NWA not having any music to walk out to? That is awkward.
That is.
So, guys, just whistle a song. Get a harmonica out or something. Get a kazoo out and do some kazoo things for these people. Just something, please.
Hey, Billy, you're a musician, you know? Billy, he could at least do something for everybody. I understand that. That's...
Everybody gets a Smashing Pumpkins song.
Yeah. The world is a vampire, isn't it?
Look, and the thing is, look, I want to consume this product. I want to watch this product. It is unwatchably bad. There's a lot of this stuff, and it's unwatchably bad. I went to the Raw after WrestleMania. I was there in person. And like I said, Ezekiel came out, crickets. The best match of the night was Cody Rhodes versus Kevin Owens after the show. Mm. And, you know, what's his name? Veer came out or whatever. It was Veer that finally debuted.
Yeah, Veer.
On that show. I forget, Veer or Shanky. Who names a character Shanky? Come on. Like, are you going somewhere with the name Shanky? No, you're not. Okay. And it's just like, it was just such a flop, and people were waiting for something exciting to happen. And like, okay, there's Bianca Belair. Cool. She cut the promo, fireworks, done. Roman Reigns comes out, fireworks, done. It's like, okay, and what? Like, you know, you go from WrestleMania, by the way, I thought was great. I thought the matches were great.
Yeah, right.
But you have that, and then you come back with a Raw that's supposed to be the most exciting Raw. And I think this was the least excited crowd at a Raw after WrestleMania ever. Well, because of how bad the writing was.
Well, they had to do the TV show where they had to run all the highlight packages that they constantly do. And then they say, this happened 5 minutes ago on Raw, and they have to run a highlight package about what happened on Raw. And then they have to do another highlight package from WrestleMania weekend. It was a convoluted mess. I agree with you, man. It's getting pretty bad.
And being there live. So I took a friend of mine, because I got the tickets very, very late. I took a friend of mine who's never been to wrestling before, a 70-year-old friend of mine, right? Mm-hmm. And my 70-year-old friend had all of the same comments that I had to say about it. I asked them what they thought before I told them what I thought. And they literally said the same thing. We're like, the women are fun. This is a great, they're fun to watch. Like, they all, you knew that they were different people when they came out. All the guys seemed to be the same. And when the show went over in like 2 hours, it was so dull and I wanted to leave. And I was like, yep. Nailed it. But like, so back to, you know, Buddy Murphy, God, like, can you swear on this podcast? Am I allowed to swear?
Oh, go ahead.
I like the expletive.
God damn it. How do you fuck up Buddy Murphy? This guy is a super athlete, right? So,
yes,
like, same with same with Aleister Black or whatever, Malachi Black, whatever you want to call himself. These guys are super athletes. And, like, so you want to get him. Like, he's obviously somebody who should not be a free agent anywhere. You pick him up, and then you're like, okay, we got him. Now what? Well, just put him over there. They put him into that group.
Right.
And now he's just like, he should be highlighted, but he's not. The reason that the NWA, like you said, is like a better program is because they actually highlight their wrestlers, you know, who's coming out, and they actually have time to like watch them wrestle.
Yeah.
Man, Buddy Murphy can wrestle circles around so many people. But the thing is, so many people can. Look at like, okay, Ricochet, that guy. So yeah. I went to an NXT show where it was him against the child molester guy, Velveteen Dream. And whatever he was accused of, right? And that match brought the house down. It was insane. Their match. It was one of the best live matches I've ever seen. It was when they were doing a live tour. They were in Washington D.C.
Right.
And you see what he can do. And like even when they were kind of letting him do what he wanted to do. And the announcers beat the drum like superheroes are real. And they would say it like 85,000 times during the match. You're like, shut the fuck up. Shut up. Just let him jump around and do all of his crazy shit and just let him be like a good wrestler. Let him have a chance to do it. He should be in and out of the Intercontinental or United States Championship picture constantly.
Uh-huh.
Constantly. This guy should be. And I think he's there now again. But like, they just let these guys in WWE. It's like watered down writing that is unwatchable when you have the best talent you've ever had. And in AEW, it's so many guys and with, it seems like no creative control at the top. Like there's like everybody early on had great characters. After that, it was like, what's happening?
Why don't I play you a little bit of his stand-up comedy? He actually did this in the state of Utah. It's available on YouTube. If you want to check it out, it's part of Dry Bar Comedy. It's called the Crazy Transplant Mix-Up. Tim Young, it's a full 30-minute special. Very funny stuff. And we'll have more with our conversation with Tim Young after a little bit of his comedy special. This is Tim Young.
You guys are great. You're cheering me up. I just had some dental work done. Yeah, and I had it done at the dental school. Has anyone ever had this done? Any other poor people out there? It's no fun, right? This is when you go to the dental school and you let students work on you for a discount. It's like donating your body to science while you're still alive. I feel good about it. I like to do stuff like that. Like I'm an organ donor. Did you guys check the organ donor box on your card? A few of you. Everybody should do it. That might be your last chance to do something good. And you're not going to take it with you, right? Just give it away. That's like recycling. They can take anything, heart, kidneys, and eyeball. You know what they can take now? They just transplanted a whole face onto somebody else's face that got messed up. Isn't that weird? They can take your face. I hope they don't take my face and give it to somebody local. That'll be weird for my friends and family. Didn't Tim die? No, I saw him at the Chipotle. He's a lot shorter. He's shorter than he was. And he's the sheriff. I want to. I like to see a jazz game while I'm here. Maybe someone give me some jazz tickets. Anybody basketball fans out there? You know, I like professional basketball because those athletes are the least in contact with reality. I like when a 7-foot-tall player dunks the basketball. No one's guarding him. He starts celebrating like he did something special. You are 7-foot-tall, sir. That's the same skill level as me flushing a toilet. I mean, I feel good about a nice flush, but I walk away, keep it cool. I let my stats speak for themselves. I think I had another Utah experience. I went into the Chipotle, and there's a guy in there, not a cop, just a regular guy, and he's holstered his gun right here. I mean, I don't see that very often. I my Chipotle at home, we don't have a sheriff. So I don't know what to say. It's weird. Open carry is a weird thing. I feel sorry for open carry gun owners, to be honest, because no one will ever throw you a surprise party. I grew up in Virginia. I came from Virginia today. Virginians? Are you Virginians? Oh, some other rednecks up there. I go visit my parents. They live in a small town now. Small towns make me uncomfortable because I lived in New York City for a long time. And anybody from a small town, real small town? Yeah. How many people? Yell it out.
We didn't have a stoplight.
Oh, no stoplight? That's how you count your people? Thanks for answering a question I did not ask. Could have just said you don't know the population of the town. Can you count them in your head right now? Uncle Billy, Aunt Betsy. You got no stoplight at all. How many people can you? 2,000, that's a medium small town. Anybody beat it? How many people?
700,
look at that. That's not even a town. That's where your grandpa's truck broke down.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Hi, this is Dave Denton. Let my voice go to work for you. It's Dave'sVoiceWorks.com. Spell works, W-O-R-X. And you can hear samples of my on-air work and also some of the commercials I've done over the years. There's pictures from some of my career and more, all at Dave'sVoiceWorks.com. Dave'sVoiceWorks.com. Spell works, W-O-R-X.
I'm Impact Wrestling World Tag Team Champion, the big LG Doc Gallows, and you're listening to the Turnbuckle Trash Podcast.
It's time to take out the trash on Turnbuckle Trash. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
This isn't a social event. This is a competition where there's one winner. You don't see the officers before a fight playing with jacks and juice boxes. No, they talk trash and they beat the crap out of each other.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
So, Tim, I want to ask you real quick. I thought it was kind of hilarious. Tim is the greatest guy to follow on social media. If anybody out there is not following Tim, you gotta follow Tim. Tim on Getter, I was so excited to see when you posted the pictures of the Raw after WrestleMania. I was like, holy crap! I was like, this guy is rad! I was like, not only do I love him as a political commentator, but he likes professional wrestling? That's like unheard of, and it was so funny to see all the people making comments to Tim like, oh, you know that's not real, oh, you know that's just fake, and Tim just let him have it. Okay. It was great.
I think I responded something like, I'm sorry you hate your life.
Yeah.
I'm sorry your life sucks.
Yeah, it's just like, duh, we know, you know, like, if you don't know by now in, you know, what year are we in again, 2022, yeah. That there are predetermined outcomes in wrestling, you should get a life.
Yeah, we've had Jeff Katz on with us before, and Jeff does a political talk show in Richmond, Virginia, and actually he's in one of the East Coast Hall of Fames as an announcer for wrestling, and he's along with us, you know. Yeah, grow up. You know, this is 2022, man.
Yeah, no, I mean, and we should have fun any way that we can have fun. So it's very interesting. So, and I won't name names or anything like that, but I had a fun conversation with somebody recently who is in the business right now. And they had the same reaction that you did, which is kind of weird. Because they're like, a lot of people follow me for politics, and then they're like, wait a second, you actually know the product? Like, you actually watch? And I'm like, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I do. That's like, I mean, awesome. But to the point that, like I said, I want to spend my money on this, and I can't because it sucks. Like, that's like where, you know, I have spent a lot of money on things that you wouldn't think I spent money on in wrestling. So I'm friends with the Main Event Gear guys, so if you don't follow them on Instagram. So they're the guys who do all of the costuming. They do Alexa Bliss. They do, Adam Page, MJF, they did the Bludgeon Brothers. Everybody, basically anybody in the main event scene, basically they've done outfits for Bobby Lashley, all those guys. So they do all the costuming and they're great friends in the middle of nowhere in Alabama. I've had them make for me a replica of Bobby Heenan's Hollywood jacket, the black jacket with his initials on the front.
Yeah, cool.
And but it's got my name on the back and TY on the front instead. And I also have the Macho Man red, white, and blue jacket that he had, the like Stars and Stripes jacket that he had. They made an exact replica for me with my name on it instead of Macho Man. And so and right now they're making a because I fucking love wrestling. They're making me my own. So I always wear hoodies when I'm on stage and when I do events and stuff, where it has no on the front. It's a black hoodie. It just has no, because no is my brand. And they're making me a sequined out hoodie for live shows that I do with no on the front. So like, I mean, I love it and I hate it. And it sucks that it sucks. You know, it's just one of those things. And I think, obviously, if you guys watch it every week, I'm sorry. But like,
I don't have a life.
Yeah, like 3 hours is a lot of time to commit to something that drags, you know?
Yeah. Well, we got to introduce you to some people from an independent show that we follow a lot called Devotion Championship Wrestling. They have a women competitor on there named Rekha Dahaka. You can be, if you get the chance to see her, she's incredible. But they also have Manny Lemons and Buff McShay and the Brother Smith, which was very politically incorrect for Utah. But they also have a man that I think you would enjoy because he's just a hoot. They call himself Tombstone Jesus. And he is so fun and one of the great friends. So if you ever get a chance to check out something called Devotion Championship Wrestling, either on YouTube or on Fight TV.
I'm writing it down. I'm doing it now.
Yeah, they're great guys and very talented. And Vince Russo's helped them with a little bit of their product. And they actually got into some difficulty last year because of Jim Cornette, who was talking about Vince Russo, and they, of course, they hate each other. And Jim started talking about how Devotion was tied in to the prominent religion here, and they actually got some pretty good press about a year and a half ago because, no, those guys aren't with the prominent religion, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. But Jim Cornette, trying to get heat, I guess he tied it together, and those two guys, Vince Russo and Cornette, just hate each other.
Well, let me tell you. So Cornette's another one that I have an issue with, and it's because like I want to enjoy his podcast, and I used to listen to it. I thought it was really funny. I liked how he broke down things, but then out of nowhere, he will insult religion. He will insult you know, anybody who is like
politics.
Yes, and it's to the point that like, he's hateful. Like, that guy is full of hate. And that show is fine. Like, his show would be fine if he didn't, like, I mean, I think he called AJ Styles the equivalent of a flat earther because of his faith. And I'm like, dude.
Yeah.
You know, I say lots of things in politics. I will never mock someone because of their faith, regardless what their faith is. I've performed in Salt Lake City. And, you know, I'm friends with folks who are more, I mean, actually, Mormon people are probably some of the nicest people.
Well, thank you.
On the face of the planet.
They say now.
No, I think.
Go ahead.
If civil war breaks out, you're ready to murder us all. But before that, you guys are like that. No, honestly, like, and I've never met a not nice Mormon, which scares me. True. but no, honestly, like, I don't understand like mocking someone's faith.
Yeah.
You know, Scientology, we can mock that. We all are universally, we can mock that one. But like, because that's just a scheme. But like, other than that, like, you know, the fact that Cornette goes into these long rants about how much he basically hates God. And I'm like, dude, if I listen to this, I'm going to get struck by lightning. I don't even want to be in the ballpark of participating in this. But I think that might also be one of the other things that like has shifted in wrestling is like, I don't know if it's like a woke fan thing or something too, but like, it just seems like there's more woke fans, especially of like the AEW brand and stuff. And I'm like, you really can't be woke and watch pro wrestling if you came up watching it, because it just doesn't match. And you can't be PC and have a good wrestling product. You have to be, you know, yes. Because really what pro wrestling was in the 80s and 90s was the same way good characters are, right? So it's the normal person, but with exclamation points all over it. It's like a hyperbolic way of explaining what things are in the world. And so you know, when The Rock said that he was a bad guy or whatever, and The Rock character himself, Dwayne Johnson, said, you know, it was just me with exclamation points all over it. And that's the way every good character should be.
Right.
You know, MJF is clearly like his bad side with exclamation points all over it. And by the way, watching clips of him mouth off at kids and the clip where like the handicapped guy came up like he was in a wheelchair to get an autograph. And he's like, look what I can do and you can't. And he stood up. I'm like, holy shit. But you know what the thing is? That's the thing, right? So like everybody knows it's an act. And even the guy in the wheelchair appreciated that, right? Like there's like, that is the, so just the MJF character himself and how he plays it out in the real world and everything else is the one thing that is anti-woke of the entire world that is happening with this pro wrestling right now.
Yeah, we've lost our sense of humor.
I wish there were more people who watch that. Yes, yes. And I don't think we have as a whole. I don't think as a country we have as a whole.
Right.
I think it's just the loud people on social media, which, by the way, as Elon Musk has purchased Twitter in the past couple of days, we're seeing that, like, I think it was like they did some report that like 200,000 people that followed Katy Perry have like deleted their accounts, but there are millions of new followers, millions of new people who got onto social media. And I mean, I gained, I think, 30,000 followers in 2.5 days here.
Wow.
Hey, Tim, did you watch Monday Night Raw this week?
Because
there was a great little segment they had with Austin Theory, now just Theory, and The Miz. And they showed Austin Theory with one of his selfies with Vince McMahon. And Corey Graves says, I understand that when Elon Musk saw that picture, that's why he decided to buy Twitter. I lost it. I lost it. It's so
funny. Let me tell you something. You want to talk about somebody who's got the hardest job in wrestling right now?
Uh-huh.
It's Corey Graves.
Right.
So Corey Graves is their heel announcer. He is their equivalent of modern-day Bobby Heenan.
Uh-huh.
And he has to somehow be edgy and offensive on the microphone without
offending everyone.
People,
yep.
Which is fucked up,
mm-hmm.
Which is totally fucked
yeah.
up, mm-hmm. right? So, like, like when I remember he trended during WrestleMania because when the marching band came out for Bianca Belair, he, like, said, what is this? You know, like that he's offended that she's getting pomp and circumstance when she comes out, right?
Right.
And he trended on social media because the social justice warriors were like, you know what it is. It's an African-American college marching band.
Geez.
How dare you, you fucking racist.
Jeez.
Blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, I'm watching this and I'm like, this, he's doing his goddamn job. And these people were like, and like some people are like, I know you're supposed to be a heel, but that was too far. How dare you say, what is this? When a black marching band came out. And it's like, okay, listen, if he had the ability to like retort to that, if it was me, I would have said something like, oh, actually, I was just upset that it wasn't an all trans woman marching band. I was offended that, you know, it was normal straights. You know, fuck you. All this stuff. It's like, fuck you.
So when I first started on the podcast with Dave, it was right literally at the time when the Hulk Hogan controversy came out. And that was the most unreal bunch of bullcrap I've ever seen. You know, whatever. Hogan said Hogan said the N-word. Well, you know, not that long ago that wasn't that offensive. But anyways, that's not the point. The point was what he does on his own time in his own house is his own business. And everybody absolutely – and they still to this day have turned their back. I mean, Big E Langston, he won't even talk to Hogan. And I'm like, why? Over words, you know, and I got into big arguments with people over that of saying, and I never once said, oh, Hogan, yeah, good for him, way to go, way to say those words. All I did was say what Hogan does on his own time is his own business. And quite frankly, for somebody to have a hidden camera on him is quite shameful.
Right.
And
yeah,
I just can't
the whole thing is ridiculous.
That just sparked that when you said that, because everybody looks for a reason to be offended. It's like, oh my gosh, Hogan said something. Yeah, he said something. You know, whoop-de-doo. I don't know. It's like, why do we have to look for everything? Even, and it's flooded over into professional wrestling, a program that is controversial by nature.
Also, literally, how old is Hulk Hogan? Like 70?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really like, wild, so you're upset a 70-year-old guy said something racist? Yeah, okay. And also, the sky's blue. Yeah. You know, we're at that point. But also, on the flip side, to be honest with you, talking about Big E, that's a guy. So I don't know what the whole plan is. Obviously, there's no plan with WWE. That's a guy who I would put the mantle on, or I'd put him on the mantle to be the head of that, like, to be the face of WWE. That guy is like, he just seems like, I you know, that situation aside, whatever. But like, that dude is just like the happiest, coolest. He's a big dude. Like, I mean, if you want to check boxes or whatever, who gives a shit? But like, he's a guy who should be champion and be on media.
Yeah,
doing WWE shit.
They took the belt off of him as soon as Brock Lesnar comes back. You know, I thought it was just terrible of Vince to do that to them, because he was doing such a good job when he was champion. And just as soon as Brock Lesnar decides to come back, oh yeah, Brock's going to be your champ again. I'm a big fan of Big E. Big fan.
He's the guy. So I sat next to Kofi on a flight years and years and years ago, coming out of Dayton and going back to Baltimore. So it was actually the day after Bret Hart came back to Monday Night Raw.
Oh, okay.
And reunited with Shawn Michaels in the ring in Dayton years ago. This is how much of a geek I am. I've been to tons of wrestling. And I was on the plane with him, and that guy is, he's me, but he's an in-shape, awesome wrestler. That guy, like, we talk for a little bit. I don't bother him. You know, I don't freak out when I see people that I recognize, but like, you know, he is a nerd who loves wrestling and would probably write better stories. I mean, imagine if, you know, Big E and like a couple of these guys, I bet Corey Graves would be a hell of a writer too. Like, if these guys had control of the storylines, what would it look like? You know, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, all these guys, these veterans actually had control of the storylines and were able to write it, or they took input from them, how cool would the product be?
Yeah.
Well, I thought that's what AEW was supposed to be all about. I thought that they were supposed to be like the wrestlers having more control over their characters and the wrestlers having more control over their storylines. But then here Cody Rhodes leaves because he says, well, it's not the product that I started.
Yeah.
He says, I left because it wasn't fun anymore. He's like, there was getting to be too much, you know, I don't know the exact words of what he said, but I know it was something to that effect that he left because it wasn't fun anymore.
Well, Tony Khan took over more of the role of the booker, and yet they do have some talk about what they're going to be doing and what their character is going to do, but Tony Khan is, you know, the man behind the product there. And I was going to tell you real quick that Sam Adonis, who's a professional wrestler, wrestles a lot in DCW, and he's Corey Graves' brother. So if you see Sam Adonis, and he's managed by a man called the MK Bandit, who just this past Friday threw out the first pitch at the Chicago Cubs game because he's also a very powerful engineer and the head of a group of engineers, you know, one of those associations. And he got to throw out the first pitch, so I'm very jealous of MK. He's a big friend of the podcast.
By the way, if you want a good character that would work, and they won't do it because it's too awesome, obviously, in WWE, if Corey Graves doesn't end up being, like, the bad guy manager, if he doesn't end up, like, helping Carmella win things and cheat as, like, a heel that, like, pulls on legs of women and distracts them during matches, and then eventually gets beat up, they're dropping the ball.
Right.
Like, that's such an obvious play that they should do. But, like, there are so many obvious plays that they should do in WWE that they won't do.
Yeah.
You know, just the more I watch, like, that's again, the women have all the characters, right? They're the ones that are the most defined characters. And he gets legitimate heat, like, with his, you know, getting married to Carmella. I think people are actually legitimately jealous, but that's another conversation. But, like watching that, like, okay, you talk about the things that are interesting on the show. The fact that I've talked about, again, Carmella, who has been really mid-carded as a female wrestler, and Corey Graves, who's the announcer, and their relationship. The fact that I know that, and I can't tell you, I legitimately don't know who the Intercontinental Champion is right now. I'm trying to think who has it.
Ricochet.
I really don't know.
Ricochet. Does
he?
Yeah. Just got it a couple of weeks ago.
Well, I had no idea.
Yeah.
But I know more, like, the fact that I know more about, like, that, and I'm more intrigued by anything that happens with women. By the way, like, Zelina Vega, like, making her queen and that those outfits she comes out in, dude, like, she looks like somebody who needs to get beat up. Like, I mean, like, that's...
And then they didn't use her on the anniversary of 9/11 when her father died in one of the towers, you know, and she was hurt from that. You could really, that really was. So, yeah, I agree with that.
But I watch, like, you know, I watch, you know, all the things that they're doing there. And I'm like, okay, well, can I, like, off the top of my head, is there, like, a male equivalent of, hey, like, Zelina that you want to see get beat up, you know? And it's like, no, there isn't, like, on WWE, absolutely not.
Could be Dominic Mysterio. I wouldn't mind seeing him get beat up all the time, but not a big Dominic fan. Ugh.
When he comes out, it's like you hear like a fart noise from the crowd. It's just like, why are you here?
Yeah,
we get it.
That was funny.
Yeah.
That was
like
funny.
I mean, the thing is, you could do stuff. You could have almost like if he was a bad guy with like a modern legacy team with like Shane McMahon and a few other people who are around who are second generation, that'd be kind of fun. But like other than that, he's such like a I had not watched, honestly, I watched the WrestleMania match because I watched all of WrestleMania and I thought like Logan Paul was fucking incredible.
Yeah.
But like I had like literally it was like a fart noise watching like the Mysterios come out. Like I'm like, okay, I get it. Like Rey is awesome. He is awesome. He's a legend. Awesome. But like at this point, it's sort of like he's just not being used in a way that you should be using him. And like I think Dominic has been a failure so far. And again, maybe you know it's look at the difference of how they booked Hook in AEW, who's done basically nothing.
Right.
And he's like over, and people freak out about him. Why couldn't they have done the same thing with Dominic Mysterio? It's just like they made a fart noise with his debut, and since then it's been like a mid-card myth, and you have Hook, who they've like limited released in the middle of their pile of noise over in AEW, and people talk about it. Mm-hmm. So it's like, now I mean, Dominic might be, for all I know, I don't think so, but he might be the most talented rookie ever. And the way they booked him, it's like, who cares?
Yeah,
go away.
He can go in the ring. He does some amazing things, but man, there's just something about that dude. Like Sammy Guevara on AEW. Is there something about that dude that
okay, hold on. You're going to get me. You know, I was only supposed to do a half hour, and I'm on 45 minutes, and I can talk about this. Man. And I'm going to stick around. No, I'm going to keep going. Let me tell you something.
Yeah, huh?
This Sammy Guevara shit, because you know what? When I followed AEW early on, and it gets engaged to Pam, and what a piece of shit to dump Pam because she's a normal looking chick. They should have never had their engagement on TV.
Exactly.
It should have never been a part of their blog. And then he leaves her for Ty Conti. And I don't think that he's unlikable as a bad guy. I think he's unlikable as a person.
Yeah.
And I think they've blown that whole character. I know that he's incredibly talented, but like watching him and I think they've just leaned into the Ty Conti thing with him recently or whatever, but it's like, I don't care. I don't want to see it. It's just like, to me, he might be the nicest guy in the world. I don't know what, you know, happened in their relationship. Who cares? But like, it should have never been put on TV. And like this now is just, it affects me not as him being a bad guy. It affects like on a heel. It affects him. It affects me of him being a bad guy. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's just a bad guy.
Yeah. I just don't like him.
Yeah. You can't have him like, you know, him getting engaged to a normal looking, probably very kind woman. Who knows? She might be a terrible, I know nothing of it, but just my limited exposure to it. And now he's with the hot chick and they're licking their faces all over television. It's like, I'm repulsed by this. I'm not, and not in like a, I want to see you get beat up. I'm repulsed in this. And like, I wouldn't want to be associated with you if I was a normal person, you know?
Right.
And I shouldn't feel that way. But again, the engagement to Pam should have never happened on TV.
I agree. Agreed. 100%.
What else do I hate? Let's see.
Well,
you know who I like? You know who I like? The Acclaimed. I love The Acclaimed. I could watch them all day long.
The Acclaimed. The rappers?
Max Caster, yes.
Oh, he couldn't rap a present, man. I can't stand that dude.
No, I don't care about that.
Okay. That's, In the ring, yes.
But his little jabs are really funny.
Uh-huh.
And they always lean conservative too, by the way. I don't know if you caught that or not.
I fast forward through that part. I mean, he's one of those.
He's Mark Fauci.
Uh-huh.
He's mocked Fauci. He's mocked Biden. He just did Hunter the other day. He mocked Hunter for being a crackhead.
Uh-huh. Well, that was good. Yeah.
And you would never know. I think not Max Caster, but his partner, Anthony Bowens, I think is a big, they pushed him for the LGBTQ thing, but you've never heard about it on television.
No, not at all.
He's just there and he's a good athlete.
Yeah.
Yes. And that's the way, like, if you want representation and all the stuff, you know, I do that in quotes, representation and equity and blah, 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 blah. You push good people and you don't mention who they're fucking. Like, I mean, it's not hard to do.
Yep. But they had Sonny Kist on there, and right. Sonny was very flamboyant. And to me, the flamboyance is worse than having somebody who is just a dude, you know. And that's what Matt Caster is, you know.
So, you know, to be honest with you, I don't have a problem with the Sonny Kist character. I just think it's ridiculous. Like, Sonny Kist honestly reminds me of a 1980s wrestler.
Exactly.
Like, that is again, like, we get it. But Sonny Kist isn't out there saying, like, I'm LGBT, you know, accept me. Sonny Kist is just, you know. I mean, obviously, you know. There's no way that you don't. But, like, you watch the character and you're like, okay, this is like, this is a gay dude who has exclamation points after their who they are.
The adorable Adrian Street. Yeah, just like him. Yeah.
Yes. And it's fine. Like, I you know, it's whatever. I don't care.
But I hear you.
But it's just kind of, you kind of laugh at it. Like, so I went with, I was actually at, I happened to be in Jacksonville back kind of still during COVID restrictions.
Uh-huh.
And it was when I was there when Sting debuted, the day that Sting debuted. And I think the first match was Sonny Kist and somebody else for a dark episode. And I was there with a friend who's not a huge wrestling fan, this chick. And when Sonny Kist came out, she couldn't stop laughing, and she's like, I love this. and that's, you know, and that's kind of where it is. Like, if Sonny Kist is a good wrestler, I can't tell. I think it's kind of like probably a normal, you know, moderate, not anything exceptional. But the character, mm-hmm. I mean, how is Sonny Kist? Sonny Kist is almost like Goldust without being over the top.
That's,
you know,
because really
Goldust, remember? And I would, again, you can't do what they did with Goldust anymore because you'd get canceled. But imagine if Sonny Kist had a crush on somebody the way that Goldust played off the Razor Ramon for you.
Uh-huh.
And that infuriated that person. And it was like very, like, you know, the whole Razor Ramon and Roddy Piper thing was like would be considered homophobic now. But it was a great storyline. And they went back and forth. And Goldust is a all-time, I mean, Justin Rhodes could turn, I think anybody in the Rhodes family could turn any character into an awesome character. They could work with whatever.
Right.
You know? But like, look at how beloved Goldust became and how Dustin Rhodes off of working that angle. That worked, by the way. Uh-huh. That totally worked.
Right.
So I'm a geek. I don't know if you knew that. I really like wrestling. But I want to be able to spend money. I can.
Well, you know, real quick before we got to get Tim down the road, but I just, you know, I feel a lot of the same ways you do, Tim, about wrestling and I have a 9-year-old kid, and he loves professional wrestling too. And sometimes, like you said, it's so hard to sit down with I can't sit down with a 9-year-old for 3 hours. He loses interest in wrestling. I mean, we watched WrestleMania together, and he was like, this is cool, but can we go do something else, you know? And I'll tell you one thing that we have absolutely loved is going to our local independent wrestling promotions. I mean, that kid, he comes out of his shell. He gets there and he's like, you know, Big Vic, you suck. And, you know, MK Bandit, get out of the ring. And, you know, he's this 9-year-old kid jumping up and down on his seat, yelling at these guys that they suck and to get the heck out of it. That was a 3-count ref. What's your problem? You know.
And when Manny Lemon threw that lemon to him, and he was just going crazy. It was awesome.
Yeah.
That is awesome. And that's the way it should be.
Yeah, and I just and it's like we talk about this so much. It's like beating a dang dead horse, but like I put so much more time and money and stuff into our local promotion because I'm like WWE is always going to be there. They're always going to have money. People are always going to support it. But it's like, you know, my local promotion here in Salt Lake, these guys work day jobs. They're real dudes just like me, and they have a few minutes on a Saturday night to become somebody, you know, to climb out of their everyday life and to become somebody, like you said, with exclamation points themselves of who they really want to be in life, but they can't because of whatever reason, you know? And I mean, sometimes it's not always feasible to be gold dust in real life. I mean, you know, I don't know if you can run around with gold paint going, you know, but
yeah,
I mean, I love our local promotion, and it's so fun. And that's what I'm like, you know, I'm not necessarily screw WWE, but in a way it's like WWE, AEW, all you big names, piss off. I'm going to go watch wrestling where they actually tell stories, where I actually can actually follow them, where I can actually get involved with the characters, where they're not changing characters' names every 3 days, you know, where somebody carries the belt for a while, and there's good feuds, and they're fun. And like I said, they're just normal guys too.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, the moves aren't as crisp. The moves aren't as crisp, and the, you know, the camera work's not as nice. The lighting's not as great. But by hell, it's fun.
I went to a show, I don't even know where I was, in the middle of Alabama, like about a year ago, with the guys who do Main Event Gear. Mm-hmm. And it's clearly like one of the, you know, it's one of the shows where like, they had like 10 people on the show. So like, you know, it starts off with a couple singles matches and they all ended in a big tag match at the end kind of deal.
Right.
And I bought everybody's shirts. Like I literally like bought all the merch and like did the whole thing. And like, all I right. just, man, because I'm all about like, helping those guys out. They're working hard and having fun, and really that really is it. You vote with your wallet, right? You vote with your feet on this one, and it's go support the guys who are working hard to do their thing, and you know, like you said, WWE will always be there. AEW I think will always be there as well. There's a lot of money now there, so like it's fine, you know, and hopefully they'll eventually put on better shows. I want to believe yeah. That's kind of where it is, you know. It's you know, I just don't understand how both of these shows, if you go and watch like old WWE on Peacock, you know, like old Raw formats from, you know, season 3, season 4, you know, when they just got out of the, you know, they still had a couple of squash matches and stuff, but like when they got out of squash matches and started developing stories and stuff and really did a lot more short-term stuff, you know, for the faster pay-per-views that were coming up, but like how you watch the formats for that and have shows like they have now is beyond me.
Yeah.
Because they kept the ball in the air. And I feel like a lot of times if Raw has a good segment, they'll suck the air out of the arena out in the very next segment instead of like keeping it going. And I watched these old shows and it was like, boom, 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 boom. There's always something. And the crowd was rarely not on their feet.
Right.
And that's what's troubling to me. It's like me as somebody who's produced conferences and just stand up and has produced radio and, you know, not really produced radio, but like been a part of it and helped produce segments for local TV and stuff like that. You know, you keep things moving to keep people in it and they just don't now. And I don't understand, again, like how that format was set up and how they had such great success in the past. And now when you look at it, you're like, how did we get to this point?
Well, you know, WWE, what they'll do is they'll bring an announcer or somebody coming into the ring, and then they'll make them stay in the ring while they're doing a 3-minute commercial break. They come back from the 3-minute commercial break, then they'll have a video highlight package, come back, and there's still somebody standing in the ring, and then they'll bring in the next wrestler. And can you imagine being in an audience and watching for 10 minutes with nothing happening?
I was there. I was there the Raw after WrestleMania. Yeah, it's awful.
Right. Yeah.
they just stand there.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. But by the way, so like right now, like the one thing I have hope in right now that I think they've already kind of started to drop the ball on, the Edge looked better on a throne than Triple H ever did.
Exactly.
At WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. He looks like a legitimate demon. And I think he knows he looks like a legitimate demon when he does that stuff. And his intro and what they're doing now could be great.
Mm-hmm.
They won't be because WWE will screw it up. I mean, that's where I am. I just believe it. But like, but you know, it's like it makes sense that him and Damian Priest are together. It makes sense that like, you know, they're this like dark whatever. It'd be cool. I don't know if they've linked in Rhea Ripley, but that would be a cool additional piece.
Really would.
But like, you know, but again, they look at the stuff that seems very obvious, and I think obvious to fans. And they will drop the ball. I hope to God that Edge has control of this storyline, because if he does, then I trust it. But, you know, who knows? So just like if Cody Rhodes doesn't win the world championship and like not the next WrestleMania, but the one afterwards, and dethrones Roman Reigns after a 1,000 days or whatever, if he's not the one that does it, then his awesome promo at the Raw after WrestleMania a couple days ago was worthless.
All right.
So anyway, I can go on about this forever, but I got to run.
Okay. Hey, well, hey, real quick, Tim, thank you so much for, you know, being on the show, and thanks for your hard work out there of keeping people, you know, sane with your commentary, and you do an excellent job. Yes. And again, I'm going to say what everybody else says. When Tim Young gets his own show, I don't care if it's on satellite radio, his own podcast or whatever, you definitely have subscribers here.
Awesome. Thank you. No, I think I'm going to be taping a comedy special here pretty soon. Actually, I'm about to walk down to the theater in my little town.
Okay.
And talk to them about booking the theater to do a special actually pretty soon. So it's really fun actually. Cool. With all the things I do, I still do everything myself, and I refuse to have management because I'm cheap.
Oh,
so good. So it's a good time, you know, wandering my town and like, I'm going to go book the theater myself now and just get it done.
Well, you have an open invitation to join us anytime, man. Anytime you want to spout off about something that's going on in professional wrestling, let us know. You have an open invitation.
I will. Listen, I really enjoyed this. And to be honest with you, I told you a half hour because I wasn't sure if you were crazy or not. And then when you were awesome, I stuck around for an hour.
that makes me feel good, man. Thank you so much.
Anytime, like, if you would have told me you were LDS ahead of time, I would have been like, oh, I'm in. Whatever, you're normal.
Well, I'm as abnormal as they come. And I've been following professional wrestling since the 60s because I'm an old fart. But I grew up in Memphis watching Jerry Lawler and the Andy Kaufman stuff and all that. So I understand about having that crowd on their feet all the time. So
I used to go to Maryland Championship Wrestling when I was in college. Uh-huh. And I used to watch GWF as a kid when it was on in the afternoons ESPN2.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, like, dude, I feel like a freaking, like, historian that I saw, like, Eddie Guerrero on GWF, Eddie Guerrero and, like, you know, Mick Foley on GWF before anybody else did. And, like, you know, when he was a Dynamite Kid instead of the 1-2-3 Kid. That's how long I've been watching. That'll get you back to, like, when I was a kid.
And I saw Jeff Jarrett's first televised match. That's how old I am, man.
Look how old we are. There we go. I saw Dynamite Kid. You saw Jeff Jarrett's first. Like, dude, there was an angle once. I believe it was Eddie Guerrero on GWF where they bought him a car because he was like, his angle was he was like the poor Mexican. Uh-huh. And like the bad white guys went out and destroyed his car that they bought him and he was sad. And I'm like, oh my God.
No way today.
Yeah. I was like, holy shit. I'm pretty sure it was Eddie Guerrero. I was like, holy shit. Like, it's like, it's like horrifying.
Well, but anyway. Tim, thank you so much, man, and enjoy the rest of your day. And I really appreciate your time. And thanks for being with us, man.
No problem. Thanks for having me. We'll talk soon.
Okay. Thank you, Tim.
Okay. Thanks, Tim.
See you guys. Bye.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Wrestling was an essential service.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
Correct!
The thoughts and opinions heard on the preceding program are not necessarily those of an intelligent human being.
Well, if you want a rematch, you aren't getting one.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
Well, I think it's been the worst writing I've ever seen in my life in wrestling lately, so. He looks like somebody who needs to get beat up. Like, I mean, can you swear on this podcast? Am I allowed to swear?
Tim is a conservative, and so am I.
So is Dave.
So is Dave.
Okay, and what?
The co-host with the least.
They do that. They could have the most successful wrestler on the planet who could be over more than anybody else, literally, in history of WWE, and they'd go like, hey, you know what we should do? We should change that.
So I went to an NXT show where it was him against the child molester guy, Velveteen Dream, and whatever he was accused of. Right. I want to spend money on wrestling, and they're not letting me spend money on wrestling. Just whistle a song. Get a harmonica out or something. Get a kazoo out and do some kazoo things for these people. Just something, please.
Oh, you know that's not real. Oh, you know that they're fake.
Like, I'm sorry you hate your life. You can't be woke and watch pro wrestling if you came up watching it. Because, oh, actually, I was just upset that it wasn't an all-trans woman marching band.
a program that is controversial by nature.
You know, I was only supposed to do a half hour, and I'm on 45 minutes, and I can talk about this. And I'm going to figure out, no, I'm going to keep going. Cause...
You can run around with gold paint going...
Listen, I really enjoyed this, and to be honest with you, I told you a half hour because I wasn't sure if you were crazy or not, and then when you were awesome, I stuck around for an hour. If you would have told me you were LDS ahead of time, I would have been like, oh, I'm in. Whatever, you're normal.
Well,
when he comes out, it's like you hear like a fart noise from the crowd. It's just like, why are you here?